Good morning. Glad you're here today. We got down through the testimony of Simeon last week. And, you know, it's interesting to me the different people that are contacted by God at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You had the shepherds out in the hills. And then you have Simeon here. And then Anna, we're going to read about today. And then about 2 years later, some very wise men come from someplace east. Nobody knows exactly where, nor how many, or exactly what they were, but they came to see Jesus. He didn't go down to the local college or the local seminary, or didn't find the preachers in the community or the most educated people around. He didn't go visit the king. What he did was come to common people who would recognize the Savior and give a testimony of that. You realize the reason why the disciples, the apostles were chosen? They were chosen to give a testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ after He rose from the dead. The reason why those 12 men were specially chosen, they knew Him, they walked with Him for 3.5 years. They had been from John the Baptist ministry right through the ministry of Jesus Christ, and then they're still around when He rises from the dead. And they could recognize Him and say, hey, I've seen Him. I saw Him was alive, I saw Him dead, I saw Him buried, I saw the grave where He was, and 3 days and 3 nights later He came out of that grave victorious. And I saw Him, He's alive! And all these guys that went fishing, you know, they said, man, they're discouraged, man, Jesus is dead, He's in the grave, they're discouraged, they're whipped, they don't know what to do. But I tell you, one of the greatest proofs to me, historical proofs, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the way the apostles acted after He rose from the dead. I mean, they were through. They're going, well, what's the sense of going on? No, man, I'm telling you, they turned the world upside down and went to their deaths preaching, He's risen. And the message is, and I already died for you, He came out of it victorious. He's risen. You need to believe in the Lord and get saved. Look at verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them, asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, our father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the testimony that was given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to teach it and preach it this day, and we ask your blessing upon your word. We'd ask that you'd give a blessing, a message, that you'd touch hearts and lives that are here. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and ask it in Jesus' name. We have another very interesting person here. Only time she's mentioned in the Bible, but a very, very interesting person. This woman is named Anna. She's a very old woman. She's described as a prophetess, tells who her father was, Phanuel. He was of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, there are different ways of thinking about how old this woman really was. If she'd been married for about 7 years and her husband died, had she been a widow 84 years after that, then she is of a very great age. I think most of us think if she's 84, she's of a great age anyway, because it's not looking as old to me as it used to. I can remember when 84 was beyond the pale. I can remember when college football players looked like men. Then they looked like kids. Now they look like grandkids. It's amazing how your perspective changes over the years, you know. Wow, you know, you'd look. Well, this woman, let's say she's 84 years old. She could be much older. She could be, say, 15 or 16 when she got married. 7 years added to that. She could be 100 years old or better. But she's a widow of about 84 years old. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. What is your devotion like? You born-again Christians, you people of the book, you people that love God, what is your devotion like? Come anything close to this woman? Night and day serving God with prayer. Serving God. Had you ever thought about that when you pray, you're serving God? I generally think about when I pray, I'm serving me. I'm getting me in contact with God. I'm getting me some answers to prayer. I'm protecting my children or my church or my missionaries or my family or my health or somebody else like that. I generally think of when I'm praying that I'm serving me. Don't you? This says, serve God. Serve God. Well, I guess you'd say Daniel was serving God when you got a hold of Daniel back there. Yeah, how long has it been since you read the book of Daniel? I teach it every couple of years, so I stay up on it, but it's one of my favorite books. Well, it's a tremendous prophetic book. I believe in teaching Daniel with Revelation, and then you just got the whole picture. You put those two together. Here's Daniel praying to God in heaven, and a war starts. And Daniel doesn't get the answer to his prayers for 21 days because there's a war going on in heaven, in spiritual things. Did you realize that when you get down on your knees in your physical little old body, you worm you, you get down on your knees in your front bedroom and you start talking to God about something that you may be starting, all sorts of events that you can't see, have no idea about? Daniel didn't know. Not till the angel finally came and told him, said, God sent me the first day, but the prince of Persia, Satan, rose up against me. And I've been battling him, and then another angel came and helped me out with him. In fact, and I was able to come give you this message. And now I'm going to go back and get in a fight. You know, you people who think God doesn't fight, God is a man of war, the Bible says. We've got a bunch of wimps in our day who don't believe we should ever stand up and fight for anything. Well, you shouldn't execute criminals, and you shouldn't spank children. And hey, a lot of these kids would be a whole lot better off if they were spanked regularly. Every morning would do them good. Why are you spanking him this morning? General principles. I know what you're going to do later that I'm not going to see. Now, I'm not for beating anybody. And I really don't like slapping. But a good, honest application of the Board of Education to the seat of learning is beneficial to an awful lot of children. Here's a woman, wonderful woman, who served God. Says she served God with fastings and prayers every day. She never left the temple. She never left the temple. This woman, she's not a priest. She doesn't have a job there. This woman loves God. This woman serves God. This woman is dedicated to God. Wow. I tell you, I read something like that and I think, what a wimp I am. Man, I'm so selfish and I'm so filled with my own mind and my own life and my own family and my own things. This woman served God night and day. Been doing it for years. And you know what? She wasn't too bashful either. So serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She comes in about the time Simeon is holding this baby up, praising God that he's seen the salvation of the Lord. Remember his testimony here? If you don't, well, I'm not going to go back over it completely, but there's what we talked about last week in Sunday school. Simeon has had this vision from the Lord. The Bible says the Holy Ghost is upon him. And he knows he's going to see the Lord's Christ before he dies. Now, I figure he's an old man. And he's been waiting on it and telling everybody around that's going to happen. Well, he's in there praising God for Jesus, the child there with him. And Anna walks in at that time and said, hallelujah, man, I got in at the right time today. You know, you may go to church and it may be a little dull every once in a while. In fact, it might be dull most of the time. But every once in a while, something really happens at church. Woo! I tell you what, every once in a while, the Lord comes and meets with you. You remember old Doubting Thomas? He decided to go fishing one day, or he stayed home. We had a nose, you know, a little sinus problems, or he had some kid problems. I'm not sure what his problem, but he didn't meet with the brethren. And that was the day Jesus came. And all the guys are telling him, hey, Thomas, man, you should have been to church. Jesus was there. I mean, where did we have a meeting? I mean, we thought we had a meeting, and all of a sudden there was Jesus in our midst, and what a blessing. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. You guys are putting me on. You're just trying to make me come to church. I'm not going to believe. And so next week he was there. They said, he's coming next week again. They said, come on. He went there next week and he said, I'm not going to believe unless I see it with my eyes and put my finger into his side. Jesus appeared to him and said, okay, Thomas, put your finger in. You don't believe. And he said, my Lord and my God. I don't believe you ever had to stick a finger anywhere. I think he just fell down and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are they that believe and have not seen. Well, here's Anna. She walks in at this time and here's Simeon. He's just praising God and she's been in that temple day and night. And I don't know how many boring days she spent in prayer. I don't know how much effort she put out. I don't know how much willpower it took for her to keep on going and keep on going when she didn't think she was seeing anything happen. But she did. She kept right on going. And then one day, she goes in there when old Simeon's in there and he is praising God and he's just as happy as he can be. I'm ready to die. I've seen the Lord's Christ. And so she begins to rejoice and she tells the same thing too. She coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And you notice not everybody's looking for redemption in Jerusalem. They had a lot of very good businessmen in that day too who took care of their business. They weren't worried about the afterlife. They weren't worried about the future life. They weren't worried about biblical psalms or prophecies. They just took care of business. But there were some in Israel that were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Savior. They were looking for the Christ. And so to them, all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem, why, she was there to give a testimony. Now, how long this woman lived, I have no idea. She was at least 84. She might have been over 100. Depending on the way the wording is here and just how you read it. But she's an old woman at any rate. And she's praising God and giving testimony just like Simeon. So, we had some tremendous things happen right there when Jesus is taken to the temple when he's 8 days old. Verse 39. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. What does that tell you about Joseph and Mary? They're pretty consistent, faithful people. They're not just people who have a church membership. They're not just people who belong. They're not just people who are naturally born Jews. He said, when they had performed all things according to the law. How are you about complying with what you know you ought to do? You know, some people are really very sloppy and careless about everything. Some people can't find anything because they never know where to put anything up. Never put anything back. I used to have a man that came to church for many years and may come again sometime, but he's a sweet brother, but he's a tremendous carpenter. Do you know what we did? Every day I worked with him, we cleaned up before we left. He just had this fetish. He had this thing. He did not leave two befores lying around. The place was swept. I mean, when we got through working, the last thing you did was you picked up every two before and you put them in a stack. You picked up tools and nails and whatever, and you swept the place. He walked in whenever the next day he walked in. If it was that day or the next day or 2 days down the line, the place was clean and ready to go. He knew where things were. I sometimes sit down with a screwdriver and can't find it for 3 days. How careful are you about just your regular things? Well, how careful are you about the things of the Lord? I doubt very seriously if you're real careful about the Lord's things if you're not careful about your own things. I would doubt it. Well, it says right here, when they'd performed all things according to the law of the Lord. I believe he had a couple of good parents. They returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And so the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The only kind of sons I ever had were sinners. I never had a son like this. And I imagine a very unusual experience since nobody else ever had a son like this. You know, I never had to teach my kids to lie. They know it automatically. I didn't have to teach them to steal or fight over things or to be selfish. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to teach them that. You got to teach them to be thoughtful. You have to teach them to be sharing. You have to teach them to tell the truth. And it's going to cost you more to lie than it is to tell the truth. Isn't that an amazing thing? But you didn't have to do that with this boy. He grew, he waxed strong in spirit, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We don't know any more about his life for the first 12 years than that statement right there. From the time he was about 2 years old, till the time that he is 12 years old and comes down here to the temple, we just got a great big gap right there. He just grew up. I'm sure he played. I'm sure he loved and disliked things. I'm sure he did all sorts of things just like a regular kid does. Except this is an unusual kid, unusually good child. And he becomes very strong in spirit. You know, you may have a boy that's strong in body and not strong in spirit. I've seen a few that were very strong in spirit, not very strong in body. You know, we got all sorts of, in the range of the human experience, man. And if you have 4 or 5 kids, you're going to see every one of them different. They know two alike. Identical twins aren't alike. And here this boy, he grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Man. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Here again. They went to a great deal of expense. They're going to make a long journey every year when it comes time to the Passover so they can be at Jerusalem and the temple on their holy day. I wonder how many Jews didn't go to that much trouble to do what God called them to do, what God told them to do. There was a whole bunch of them that didn't. And I think about us today. What do you put out for the Lord? What do you pay in money, time, effort in order to please the Lord? Do you do anything besides show up on Sunday or once in a while? Maybe attend some meeting, listen to some preaching, get rebuked, get somebody pick on you like me? My job is picking on people. I'm a bulldog, see? Just try to protect the flock. Got a bunch of sheep? Well, maybe I'm not as good a sheep as I ought to be, but I'm a bulldog, or I'm a hound dog, or something like that that's supposed to sort of bite the enemies that want to get around and mess with you. And every once in a while bite you and get you back in line. That's a lot of tough life, isn't it? They went up to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. I saw a church sign the other day. It sort of tickled me. It said, this church is open all the rest of the year between Easter and Christmas. They were making a sign on the outside that the church is open on other days besides Easter and Christmas. I thought it was a pretty cute sign myself. I like some of those things. They went up every year to the Feast of the Passover. These people wanted to keep the law of the Lord. These people wanted their life and their testimony to be of a such that it praised God. These people wanted their children raised up knowing these things counted with them. Do you know what counted with your parents? Sure you do. You know what counted with your parents. Some of them it was just a big time. Some of it was drunkenness. Some of it was family. Some of it was special days. Some of it was special things. You know what counted with your parents? Well, what do your children think counts with you? Do your children know what counts with you? Oh, yeah. Don't kid you. They might not have thought about it. They might not have put it into perspective. They might not have written an essay on it to the school teachers. They might have. Hey, I taught school for 20 years. I got a lot of essays that just blow your mind. I learned a whole lot of things about people if they were telling me the truth, because you never know what a kid's telling the truth. Somebody said, well, a kid wouldn't lie. Of course a kid's going to lie. Every kid lies. They all lie, don't you think? Oh, kid wouldn't lie. Give me a break. You lie. You think your kids don't? I had a parent come in one time. We had this kid. He was just cussing everybody out. So we took him to the office and called his parents. And Mama came in there. And we're telling her he could not speak that way in class. He couldn't speak that way in school and whatever. And she apologizes to us and whatever. And as they're walking out the door, she cussed him a blue streak all the way down the hall. You know, I know where he learned how to cuss. His mama was very good at it. Your kids know what you believe in. Your kids know the way you live. Your kids know what is important to you. And I'll guarantee you, you're passing that flavor on to your family. Your kids grow up knowing, I don't care what mom and daddy said, I know what they did. I don't care what somebody thought or what they wanted other people to believe. I know what they really believed. I know what counted with them. And I guarantee you knew something about Mary and Joseph by just this little statement here along with it. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. Now when he was 12 years old, he's been up there 12 times. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not. Hey, did you ever lose one of yours? I had five. I had to have them number off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I made sure I had them all. You ever started calling the names of your kids? Eddie, Billy, Dyra, you, whoever you are. I know you're mine. Come here. I can't think of your name right now. I know it never happened to any of you. Poor Dyra. She's been scarred for life. We were at Earl Abel's eating one day. Had the whole family. And Dyra always just loved Eddie. Just wanted to be with Eddie. In fact, when Eddie would date somebody, she wanted to go along sitting between him and his girlfriend. So, we left Earl Abel's. I thought Eddie had Dyra. Eddie thought I had Dyra. And Dyra was in the restroom at Earl Abel's. We start driving off, and I say, where's Dyra? And he says, oh, she's with Eddie. No, look at Eddie's car. She's not in there with Eddie. So we stop him, and we find out that, sure enough, nobody had Dyra. And we go back, and here's this little old girl just weeping and crying. She thought we tried to get rid of her several times. She kept finding her way home, though. You know it's happened to you. It happens. Well, he's over there. He's over there. Well, you get a day's journey. You know, they wasn't driving 2 hours down to the temple. You're talking about several days' journey. Started in a caravan, a bunch of people, a bunch of family. And they go along, hey, where's Jesus? Well, isn't he with you? Last time I saw, he was playing with you. He was playing with your kids. Where in the world is he? I don't know. So they hunt all over the whole caravan. And then, parents, you ever got mad about this? Well, I've been absolutely furious. I have to stop where I'm going. I have to turn around and go home. We almost had a rule. If you leave it at home, it's lost. We're not turning around and going back to the house. I don't care if it's the tools. I don't care if it's your shoes. It's your suitcase. It's gone. We don't turn around and go back after we get out of town. You know, we're just not going to do that. Well, here's Mary and Joseph, and they're on their way back to Nazareth. And boy, they got problems, don't they? They can't find their firstborn son. Uh-oh. Where do we go? You know where they headed? Right back to the temple. And what'd they find? I think it's just as interesting as all get out. Mary and Joseph knew not of it. When they supposing him to have been in the company, what a day's journey. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, and when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. I never did like to turn around on a trip. Didn't like to have to stop at every gas station or every little place. Because I'm getting older, I stop at every gas station now. But that's life. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. After 3 days? After 3 days? Hey, mamas, can you understand this? Daddies, can you imagine there were some frustrated people? I'm sure there wasn't as much meanness going on then as there is now. I'm sure there wasn't as much trouble. The way my parents tell me about the way they grew up in the country and walking back at night over things, they weren't worried about boogers getting them. They weren't worried about the boogeyman. They weren't worried about a whole lot of things. There wasn't a lot of meanness going on. They knew how to take care of mean people in those days. They did it. They really did. But they got to be worried. 3 days? I've been hunting for 3 days? If I were hunting one of my kids for 3 days, boy, he'd be looking for a switching when I found him. So they finally go to the temple. And when they go in there, they find their son dealing with the PhDs and THDs of his day. Their 12-year-old is dealing with the philosophers and the theologians in the temple. He's asking and answering questions. And they've never seen a boy like this before. That's a guarantee. It says, and it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. Now, that's not medical doctors, people. That's your PhDs and THDs. Both hearing them and asking him questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. For 3 days, maybe 4 days, no telling how long, but I don't know how long he was in it before they took off and went home, and he's absorbed in this, and I guess he's sleeping in the temple at night. I have no idea where he went when nighttime come. I'm sure he wasn't going 24 hours a day. I'm sure he had to eat just like you have to eat. He had to sleep just like you have to sleep. But he's been in the temple at least 4 days. Dealing with the greatest minds of Israel on doctrinal issues, on theological questions, on all sorts of questions and answers that would come up to a religious mind, to a Jew. And his parents come in and they find him there and they find that he's impressed these people. These doctors of the law are impressed. These lawyers of Israel, they're impressed. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. I mean, whenever he had something to say, it was worth listening to. Well, you read the Gospels? Did he have something worth saying? I guess he did. You know, the best book I ever found in my life, I've read it so many times, I really don't know how many by now, but by the year 1961, I'd read the New Testament through 60 times and the Old Testament 15. I read it a bunch of times. And you know, I'm still fascinated by his answers and his questions. I'm still fascinated. You know what life's about? It's not about the bottom dollar on the money that you can make. It's not about how much education you got. I got an awful lot of education. I got bukus and bukus of college hours. And I got enough degrees to put me anywhere I want to be. You know something? It's not about education. It's about truth. Truth. You can find truth. I know they tell you in the school you can't really find it. You're just always searching for it. But that's not the truth. The truth is you can find truth. And here was a man who knew truth at 12 years old. He knew truth. And when he's 30, he knows truth. And he preaches truth. And I found his truth, my truth. It's not just his anymore, it's my truth. I've accepted it. I accepted a long time ago that what he said was true, and when I couldn't prove it, I'd accept it anyway, just because he said it. Well, I tell you, these guys got a real earful, didn't they? I wonder what they thought about. I wonder what these theologians, and they said, man, what a prodigy. What a child prodigy. Prodigy? I said it right, didn't I? This kid is. 12 years old. They're going down. They're going to make him a man at 12, see? He becomes a man. Didn't have to be 21. We got married. My wife was 18. I was 18. I had to get permission from my daddy. She didn't have to. You weren't a man just 21 when I was young. They didn't give you that privilege at 18, 21. Well, here he is at 12. At 12, he's considered a man. But he goes down and he's answering all these people and his parents find him. And his mother comes up with a pretty mild rebuke, I would think. Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Didn't you think about us? I don't know how many times I've taken a teenager or a little kid and say, hey, what about me? What about your mother? What about your brothers and sisters? You're not the only one in the family. You're not the only one in this town. You're not the only one in the world. Wake up and look out. There are other people. And his mother comes up with something you and I would have come with just as easily. Hey, didn't you think what we would think? Didn't you know we'd be worried? Didn't you know what frustration, what sleepless nights you've given us? Be down here, I'm a man. I'm ready to take on my work. I'm doing my work. I'm about my father's business. He knew who his father was. And it wasn't Joseph. Joseph was a good stepfather, but he had a heavenly father. And he said, I'm down here at my father's house taking care of my father's business. Hey, do you ever think about the father's business? Does it ever occur to you that there is a father's business and that you have some responsibility for your father's business? How about his testimony before the world? You're the only savior they're going to see till he comes. You're the only testimony some people get. If you're not a very good one, they don't get a very good testimony of what Christians are like. He said, I'm about my father's business. You need to take care of your business. You really do. But you really need to take care of your father's business too. You need to have a knowledge, I belong to God. I belong to God. And this Bible, this testimony, this salvation, it's my business. A lot of people used to, I've been pastoring, preaching 40 years over. And there were some places where they said, we hire you to do the soul winning. You do the preaching, you do the visiting, you do the soul winning. And I would try to teach them from the Bible, wait a minute. My job is to teach you. My job is to lead you. But I'm not a priest in that sense. We're all priests. I'm a foreman. I'm like a squad leader. I'm not the general, but I'm the sergeant. And we all get in and work. I'm like the foreman. We all get in and work. And if I'm the only soul winner in town, not many people are going to be reached and not many people are going to hear. But if I teach you what to say and how to say it and encourage you along the way, and all of you just witness to one person in a month's time, a lot more people will be reached than if you got a hireling, a hired leader, a paid gun. No. The Father's business is your business too. Soul winning is your business. Testifying is your business. Letting people that are lost know how to be saved, that's your business. Or if you don't have the ability to speak, and not everybody does, some of you are more shy than others, you can invite them with you. Hey, I'll take you to lunch. Let's go to church first, and I'll take you to lunch afterwards. A lot of people got saved that way. Just come on. And when they hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit touches their heart, and they get saved. I don't know how many in here got saved that way. Just they walked into a church one time. Some friend had invited them. They walked in, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just touched their heart. They were convicted. This is what I need. But it does happen. He said, didn't you know, why are you seeking me? Wist you not, didn't you know, that I must be about my father's business? But they understood not that saying which you speak. This is a 12-year-old boy. Mom and dad don't understand. No. Now, son, you got to go home and be subject unto us. Because that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. So they understood, they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he came down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You know what this Lord did? At 12 years old, he knew his father's business. And he wanted to take care of it. But his earthly mother and father, who were responsible for him, said, we need you to go home with us and submit to us like you ought to. And he went back and submitted unto them, the Bible said. He started his preaching when he was 30 years old. Not 21, not 18. Not even 25, but when he's 30 years old. By this time, his mother's alive, his brothers and sisters are alive, but his father is out of the picture, supposedly dead. At any rate, he went back and was subject. What about you, young people? Are you subject to your parents? No, I'm 12 years old. I'm 16. I'm 17. I remember at 17, I was so mad at my daddy for something. And my hand is small in comparison to his hand. He had a big hand. He was about my same size, but he had just had a huge hand. I remember when he started spanking me with his hand, I wished I'd never ruined his strut. But at any rate, we're 17 and I'm mad. We're standing face to face. I probably weigh 170 pounds soaking wet. He's 210, and I doubled up my fist, and he saw my fist, and he said, "Son, could you hit me?" And his face, his hand was right in my face. And I'm looking at those huge fingers, and I thought, I'm a fool if I do. We get so smart and so big. We know everything. Nobody can tell us anything. We're 17, we're 18, we're 20, and we know it all. Some of us know it all at 12. My daddy got a PhD in about 3 years. By the time I was about 21, he got smarter. And as I got older, he got smarter and smarter. And I wish right now I could go over and sit at his house, play him a game of checkers, or sit there and bounce something off of his head. "Hey, Dad, what happens if I do this?" "Well, probably this will result, or this will result, or this will result." Man, I wish I had that head. Even now, Jesus went back and was subject to Mary and Joseph, though he's God in the flesh. You might do wisely to be subject unto some people that are older than you. Might not hurt you to listen to a little bit of advice. Some people have gone through some things that maybe you don't have to go through. Why do we write books? Why do we have history? Why do we teach? Why in the world do we preach? We're trying to save you some trouble other people have gone through. Some people have the idea you can't know anything about sin unless you get out in sin. You can't really understand sin unless you've been hurt by sin. No, no, no. I can look at a divorce. I can look at an unwed parent. I can look at a little baby that's raised in an abused home. I don't have to do it. I don't have to live it to know it's wrong. I can learn from somebody else's experience. I can learn from the Bible. I can learn from somebody older. And that's exactly what he did. He went back home and he was subject to Mary and Joseph until later on. And it looks like he's the head of the house when he starts preaching. So he's the oldest son. He's about 30 years old, and Joseph doesn't seem to be in the picture anywhere. And with the family style that we have right here and the kind of character we have, I'm pretty sure Joseph was dead. So it says right here, he went back, he came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You notice that's been in here several times we've been studying Luke? His mother kept these things in her heart. Well, I don't know what's in your heart, mothers. I know you can't have these children and things not be in your heart. Linda had a way of saying things. We thought years later we should have written them down. Instead of crying, I teared, you know. One time she talked about a sunburned tongue. Her tongue must have got sunburned. We thought, yeah, as much as she talks, she probably got sunburned. But just lots of things. Man, we could have written a book, made some money on that, you know. We would have wrote down some of those sayings that came out. And we loved and kept me. You still think about it. Hey, that's my kid. That's my kid. Kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. All right, here he is. He's 12 years old, certainly not full grown physically. And he increased in wisdom and stature, his size, his physical size, and he increased in favor with God and man. If you were looking for a good goal for your life, how about increasing in favor with God and man? How about increasing with wisdom? You know, some people grow old and they're still dumb. Some people grow old and they're still ignorant. Not all old people have wisdom. You can listen to some of them. Go down to these bars. There aren't all young people down there. There are a bunch of old people out there. They're still just as dumb as they were when they were 20. They haven't learned anything yet. Praise God for learning something. I'm never afraid to say I was wrong yesterday. It means I'm smarter today than I was yesterday. I'm not afraid to say I was wrong. I was wrong. That doesn't hurt me to say I was wrong. I've been wrong on lots of things. And I've had to learn some things over the years. Well, it would be nice. If you were looking for something, it'd be nice to have a good stature, a good body, a good physical appearance, and a good health. But wisdom and favor with God and man. I'd say those are some things that would be worth looking for. How about wisdom? Ah, man, wisdom's a wonderful thing. And then favor with God? How would you like to be favored by God? Favored by God. God's favorite. Now, if you've only got one child, we know who your favorite is. No sweat. We understand that. If you got four or five, your kids are always thinking, oh, he's favored or she's favored. Or most of them don't say, I'm favored. But the truth is, as parents, some people do favor their children. And I think that's wrong. I think we ought to try not to do that. I think you ought to treat all your children as best alike. But what do you mean by alike? Just because you give one kid something, you got to at that same time give all the other kids the same thing? Well, with five kids, I couldn't do that. And with the different age ranges, 17 years between my oldest and my youngest, there's no way. Boy, there were some things Eddie needed that Dar and Susie didn't need. Linda didn't need. And then later on down the line, Eddie and Billy and Linda are all gone. You can do something for Dar and Susie and whatever. And it turns out fair. And it turns out right. Well, he was favored. I personally believe I'm favored by God. I just believe I've been favored by God. Why? I'm saved. Hey, how much more favored can you be than to be saved? Have God forgive your sins. He said he would. You take him by faith, trust him, he'll forgive your sins and save your soul and change your life. I believe I've been favored. You know, when I got saved, I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling the first day. I think I'm favored. Now, at that time, I didn't believe smoking caused caused cancer. I didn't believe smoking or dipping or chewing caused cancer. It does. You smoking, dipping, and chewing now? You're pretty dumb. You're not too bright. You don't read well, do you? Do you have a high school education? You know what you ought to do? You ought to go out and visit one of these cancer wards in one of these hospitals. You really ought to. You're not too bright. I think I've been favored because God got me out of the pool halls. Yeah. I think I've been favored. There are certain places I didn't go. I didn't go to bars anymore. I didn't go to pool halls anymore. Somebody hit me in the head a long time ago or shot me. I think I'm favored because we quit going to dances. Somebody had danced with my wife and we'd have gotten a fuss and a fight and somebody got shot or beat up or whatever. I'm favored. The things God did for me. I quit smoking. Hey, I don't have cancer of the lungs. I breathe pretty good. I've made it to 61 years old. Woo-hoo-hoo. Some of you will never make it. You say, well, look as bad as you do. Well, it's better than what I could look. It's better than the alternative. I'm still alive and kicking. Hey, any day you get up in the morning's a good day. You wake up in the morning, it's a good day. Praise the Lord. I believe I've been favored by knowing the Lord. He saved my soul. He changed my life. He changed certain things in my life, certain things I gave up and quit and walked away from, said I don't want any more part of them. I believe I've been favored. I mean, the wife and I, we fought many times. We're not, both of us, just so mild and easy going, you know, especially her, she's mean. Hard-headed and stubborn woman, she had a hard time saying I was right. And I was always right, but she had a hard time saying that. One of the reasons why we stayed together is because we were both saved, believed the Bible, and believed we shouldn't divorce. Divorce never, murder maybe. Now, do you understand any of that? I believe I've been favored. I've been favored by God because of this book. I've been favored by God because of the habits put into my life. I've been favored by God because He forgave my sins and He saved my soul and He changed my life. I believe I've been favored by God because He called me to preach. Do you know I enjoy what I'm doing this morning more than anything else I do? This is better than hunting. This is better than fishing. This is better than television. This is better than Dallas winning. I love preaching. I love teaching. I love this book. I love what I do. This isn't work to me. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to pay me. But I love what I do. I believe I've been favored. I believe I've been favored by God. You know, what a blessing. I'll tell you something else. I know President Clinton, but he doesn't know me. But I know God, and he does know me. I'm favored. How blessed are you this morning? Well, Jesus grew up and he grew in favor with God and man. Well, I tell you, my life, because I've been saved, I've been favored. Favored by God. I'm certainly blessed by a lot of men. It's been a pleasure. Lord bless you.